Praise God. So we thank God for another morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And we've been looking at the book of Acts and under a theme of witnesses for Christ. And what we've been learning is how the apostles have been going around spreading the gospel. And yesterday we looked at the Jerusalem Council, and we were able to see the argument that arose between faith and works. How are the Gentiles saved? And the issue was because we saw that there were some Judaistic believers, who are Jews, who are some from the sect of the Pharisee, who had come and they were trying to bring division in the church, in that they were saying that for the Gentiles to be saved, they must be circumcised. And this was the argument that these believers, the Jewish believers, were giving. And so it brought a lot of confusion to the church, the Gentile church, especially the church in Antioch, that because Paul and Barnabas opposed them vehemently and said, no, it is not salvation by works, it is not salvation by circumcision, and the Gentiles do not need to be circumcised for them to be saved, because God had given them the same Holy Spirit that He gave the Jews. And so the church decided to send this question to the Jerusalem church, the church that to the origin, the mother church. And in the council, they deliberated. Peter gave them the history of his encounter in Cornelius' house. Likewise, also Paul and Barnabas gave their, the history, the evidence. And finally, James, and we had seen that James was the brother of Jesus, who was the head of the church in Jerusalem. And at that point, he just said, we have come to this conclusion. It seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit that we should, give you this message. And we told them that the believers who came to you, they were not from us. And all this you can read in Acts chapter 15. They were not from us. But what we will desire is that the only burden we'll put on you is don't eat food that is offered to idols. Don't take don't eat strangled animals. That means animals with blood that have been killed with blood in them, because the life of the creature is in the blood. And then also the third thing they were told, to avoid sexual immorality. And so what we were able to see is that the answer to that question was clearly that salvation is by grace alone and by faith, putting your faith in Christ alone. But what the church was able to show is the wisdom, the practicality of that faith, because without evidence of change, then no one can say that you have really changed. So they gave the instructions that showed there was evidence of change, and which was clearly telling them, to avoid not to eat food offered to idols, to avoid sexual immorality, and to avoid consuming blood. So that shows them that was an evidence of their faith. So what we say, salvation is by faith alone, but that faith, for it to be genuine faith, it will be evidenced by your works. So both faith and works hand in hand, and that is why James says that show me your faith and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith without actions is dead. And so today we will be looking at, that was just a small recap of what we looked at, and you can listen to the full sermon, Faith versus Works. And in Acts chapter 15 verse 22, we will see now where Paul wants to begin his second missionary journey. And remember, the first one was just completed. They came back and gave the report to Antioch, and there were various things that happened. But then now in Acts chapter 15 verse 22, we shall read, the Bible says, then the apostles and the elders, together with the whole church in Jerusalem, chose delegates. Verse 36, apologies. Acts 15 verse 36. After some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take John Mark, but Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas, and as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Then he traveled throughout Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches there. So what we see here is what I will call a separation that arose due to someone deserting the faith. Now, Paul and Barnabas all this time have been preaching together. And remember, it was even Barnabas that went to look for Saul. When even Saul was converted, when he came to Jerusalem, it was Barnabas who was the son of consolation, the son of encouragement. When everyone did not believe Saul, he is the one who directly took and welcomed Saul and took him to the leaders. And one of the things that we see about Barnabas is that he has a pastoral heart. He has a forgiving heart. He has a heart of, you know, of comfort. And we can see that he clearly showed grace to John Mark. Remember, John Mark, some theologians believe that he was a cousin to Barnabas. But you see, Paul was not happy with John Mark. Why? Because he left them. In the first missionary journey, just as they were going, he deserted them and went back. But you see, Barnabas decided to take John Mark, and then Paul chose Silas. And we remember we had read before earlier that Silas was one of the preachers, he was one of the prophets, and he was a great teacher of the word and encourager, and he was also based with Paul in Antioch of Syria. So based on this disagreement, the Bible says it was so sharp that they separated. You know, at times we would expect that, no, the believers should agree. I mean, why should they separate? And why should this pastor decide to go this direction and what? But for me, I see how God works in different circumstances and uses different situations to spread the gospel. It's just like the way persecution was used by God to spread the gospel. I believe also the separation of these two apostles was important because it served God's purposes, in that it was able to send Barnabas with John Mark to Cyprus, and Paul and Silas went now. Later on, we will see they decided to go to Asia, but then the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And then later on, they went to Macedonia, and where they now, you know, eventually go to Philippi and Thessalonica. And then also, you also see they go to Berea. So there are some things that happen, some separations in ministry that might have a different origin, but for us, who are watching from the sidelines, it is not for us to start judging, oh, this apostle is not faithful anymore, or this servant of God has now grown big, he is now thinking that he can go it alone. Well, there are some things that God calls and allows certain things such that the word of God may spread. So it's always wisdom whenever we see such things happening to just keep quiet, because we are not involved. And one of the things that you see, this John Mark that Paul rejected at this point, later on, I think it's in if you can read it in 2 Timothy 4:11, the Bible says, he said, send for me John Mark, for he is profitable to me in my ministry. Later on, Paul acknowledges the need for John Mark and he sends for him. So you can see that Barnabas mentors him and carries on encouraging him, and they carry on with the work, and he does not desert the gospel again, in that he carries on. So he was young at that point, so he was running back to his mother who was unwell, or his mother who was just back to his mother. But you see, men grow. So never count the mistakes of people as if they will never change, because at one point or another, men are able to change and God is able to transform them and bring them back in line with where they're supposed to be. So John Mark eventually stands And Paul calls for him. So in as much as they separated, God used that separation for the gospel. Remember, like, for example, when the believers were scattered after the persecution in Jerusalem, the Bible says everywhere they went, they preached the good news. So whatever the enemy meant for bad, God turns it around for good. So we're going to now go into Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read up to the end of the Macedonian call. And we'll use that to conclude. And then tomorrow we shall be able to see, or as God allows us, how they face the conflict of dealing with the slave girl who had the spirit of divination. So we'll read in Acts chapter 16, and it says, Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium, so Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. In deference to the Jews of the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left, for everyone knew that his father was a Greek. Then they went from town to town, instructing the believers to follow the decisions made by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. So you will ask yourself, but I thought the message was clear. The Gentiles don't need to be circumcised. But why is Paul asking for Timothy to be circumcised? And you can see that now Paul was going Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Now, what we see in the character of Paul is, you can remember the scripture where he says, I became all things to all men so that I might win some for the gospel. Paul was willing to become, I mean, he said, when I went to the Jews, I was a Jew. When I went to the Gentiles, I became a Gentile. In that, he did not lose himself, but he knew that there are people who will not correspond to our cultural differences and not receive the gospel the way we will receive them. For example, I mean, I can give an example, like where I am, I'm in Asia. But you can see the cultural difference is that they're very calm. And so if you're preaching, you will not be shouting like you will do in Africa, because, you know, in Africa, everyone wants the excitement, wants the fire. But you see, you go to a different cultural context and you find that these people are more composed. They are more relaxed. If you shout, you will disturb them. They might not even concentrate. And the question will be like, but why are you shouting? So people are at different levels. Now, Paul could see that these believers, the Jews who were in Lystra and Derbe, in Lystra specifically, were mostly Jews. And their concern was that, no, Timothy is supposed to be a Jew. Yes, his father is a Greek, but his mother is a Jew. So his mother should have pushed for it. Or since you want to take him, and since he's going to work with you among the Jews, we want him to be circumcised. And so Paul, seeing Timothy as a son and treating him as a son, remember he says, Timothy has served with me as a son to his father in the work of the gospel. He has been faithful in all the work. So he circumcised him just to please the Jews who are in that place he was reaching out, but he does not place this burden on the Gentile church. And he clearly goes around to the Gentile churches telling them of the decision of the Jewish, of the church in Jerusalem, of the Jerusalem Council, of which is clear that they should not impose more challenges on the Gentiles in their faith. And so this is the reason where we see it looks like a contradiction of his faith and belief, but no, we see the limits, we see the extent to which Paul is ready to go and spread the gospel. And that's why he says, I became all things to all men so that I might win some. Now, so the end result of that message that they kept sharing, that, you know what, Gentiles are saved by grace alone, and it is not by keeping of the law. that this encourages and strengthens the churches, and they are made strong and they grow. Now, moving on to verse 6 of Acts chapter 16, the Bible says that next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word or in the province of Asia at that time. Now, it's not that later on Paul does not go to Asia. Later on, Paul goes to Asia. But you see, the Holy Spirit prevents them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Someone will ask, no, but we are called to preach the message. We are told to go. We need to preach to everyone. No. The Holy Spirit knows whose hearts are ready to receive the gospel. At this point, it was not yet time for Asia to hear the gospel. But you see, the Holy Spirit, God knew that at the time that was needed at this point was the Macedonians. And we will see that. So there are some times that what you want to do is good, yes. But there are times that you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to know when He is saying no. You know, your desire may be right. The work that you want to do may be right. It will be for the gospel, yes. But we are told that we have liberty. There is liberty, but liberty is exercised with judgment. Yes, you are free, but there is freedom within boundaries. Now, that tells you that every decision you make, it might be permissible. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Now, if you don't know how the Holy Spirit tells you no, or how the Holy Spirit tells you yes, then you will not be guided. You will be careless, and you might easily walk into danger without knowing the will of the Holy Spirit, or without knowing the will of God. So, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is key in missions, is key in ministry, is key in life. Without the wisdom, without the guidance of God and the Holy Spirit, you are easily able to enter into traps of the enemy. So we see they tried to do the right thing, they tried to go and do something right, but the Holy Spirit prevented them. And for me, what stands out in this sharing that we are having is how the Holy Spirit is the architect of our missions. The Holy Spirit is the architect of our decisions. If we are to do anything that is to bear fruit, we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we must be sensitive to the will of God, and to know what direction does He want us to go. And you must really know within you, when God says no, do not say yes. Do not push yourself, because why? You enter into trouble. You enter into things that you are not prepared for. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows at that point maybe you're not ready for them, and it is not yet the time. So sensitivity to the guidance of the Holy Spirit is very important. So verse 7 says that, then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus. So we can see the Holy Spirit is also being called the Spirit of Jesus. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So they want to go to Asia, the Holy Spirit refuses. They want to go to Mysia, again, the Spirit of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And that's why when someone says, no, but where is the Trinity? It is just clearly in Scripture. The Spirit of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. It's plain, you can see it, but if you don't want to see it, it's because you lack revelation and insight. So, but again, so it means that they're referring to the same Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. And verse 9, the Bible says, that night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. So we see that one thing that we must see when he says we decided, remember who is writing the book of Acts. The book of Acts is being written by Luke. So we can see Paul is here, Silas is in this company, Timothy is in this company, and also Luke. So we can see Paul had quite a number of traveling companions, and now they are going into Greece, which is into Macedonia. And the Holy Spirit in a vision gives him, he sees a man from Macedonia dressed in Macedonian clothes. And I believe that's what he could be able to see, either how he was dressed or how the resemblance. And he says, come and help us. And immediately God gave the guidance. Now, how do we see how Paul responds to the guidance of the Holy Spirit? The moment he got direction, he moved swiftly. One of the things that really we must know is that God is always willing to guide us. Whatever decisions that we need to make, the Holy Spirit is always very much willing to guide us. Now, if we spend time in the place of prayer, in the place of consecration, in the place of listening to the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God, out of our spirits, the Holy Spirit will speak through our human spirit and communicate to us the will of God. Now, when that will of God is communicated to us, then we must be obedient immediately. So it is very important to stay in the place where you are until you receive clear direction, because any wrong step can lead you into trouble. So when they got the right direction, and you see God speaks in various ways. I mean, if you look Job, I think it's 33, where it says God speaks in one way, now this way, now another. He might speak loudly in the ears of a man. He might speak, you know, he might speak in a dream, in a vision of the night to warn him from trouble. So God does speak. Now, if you've never heard the voice of God, you need to keep asking the voice of God. Ask yourself, how did Abraham know the voice of God? How did the Old Testament people hear the voice of God? How did Elijah hear the voice of God? We have the Spirit of God, and if God is our Father, then it should not be difficult for our Father to speak to us, his children. It is just us that need to be by his word. When the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, what that is telling us is that each time you sit by the word of God, the word of God becomes clearer, the voice of God becomes clearer. Learn to sit by the word of God. Even after you've listened to messages, even after you've prayed, learn to sit and read by the word of God. Why? Because you will hear the voice of God. And the more you are closer to God, the more you are sensitive to his voice, and he's able to speak. And God will speak in unique ways. There are people who have visions. There are people who have dreams. There are people who hear the audible voice of God. There are people who will have an intuition. They will just know within themselves. You will have a knowing of what is the will of God. You will just know, this is just what I'm supposed to do. You might not be able to explain it. There are those who will have the peace of God over a situation. They pray over something, and God can speak to you through your thoughts directly. I mean, so it is for you to, and even God can even speak to you through a scripture. And the good thing with God is that he still confirms his voice. If you're still not worried, be like Gideon. Gideon asked, okay, if this, what can I do? You know, but you see, Gideon was an Old Testament believer. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. That's why he was asking for signs and signs. But the thing with God, once he speaks to us through our spirits, we will know, we'll have a knowing, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is the time for me. My time has ended here. I need to move on. You will start to know, and you will keep getting that confirmation that, you know what, it is time. It is time. It is time. And when that call opens, then God makes the doors open. He makes everything beautiful in its time. And that's what God does. He makes everything beautiful in its time. So verse 11, we'll just read as we conclude. The Bible says, we boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across to the island of Samothrace. And the next day we landed at Neapolis. From there, we reached the Philippi, a major city of that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, and we stayed there several days. Verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went to a little way outside the city to a riverbank, where we thought people would be meeting for prayer, and we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshipped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized and she asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I am a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged us until we agreed. Look at how when you are in the will of God, when you are led by God, when you are guided by Him, God leads you to the right place. He led them to, when they went to Philippi, they found this, they went to the place of prayer because people will go to the, you know, to the riverside to pray. And she found Lydia, who the Bible describes as a worshiper of God. You see how God finds His people. Even those who still don't know Him, but they are looking, they are desiring God, they are worshiping God. They don't know Him, but yet God sends the right person. And as He prays, as He teaches her, and as He teaches the word, she believes, she is baptized, and she says, you know what? Come and stay in my house. And they accepted. So God provided a way for the team of Paul to find a place to stay in this city that they were going into. Remember, God says when you go to a new city, find a man of peace. And if he welcomes you to their house, stay in that house and do your ministry from there. And that's a lesson. There's a sermon there. So finding a man of peace. So in the same way, they found a man of peace in this lady, Lydia of Thyatira. And she welcomed them. And they were able to fulfill and to do their ministry completely there. So when you're in the will of God, when you're in the vision of God, God is responsible for the provision. Where His vision is, there is provision. So when you're following the will of God, you'll find that God ensures that you do not lack. He ensures that, yes, you might face persecutions, you might face challenges, but you will see the various graces that God will reveal for you. Maybe you're in the wrong place and that's why things are not working. Find out what it is, what God said. Find out, are you in disobedience? Because God does not support our disobedience. Yes, when we cry out, He will give the grace. But there's a place that is a blessed place. That is a place where we call it the place of the will of God. When you're in the perfect will of God, you are receiving Isaac. You don't need to pray for the blessing. Isaac comes already blessed. But when you're not in the will of God, or when you're in the permissive will of God, you are in Ishmael, and there you need to pray for God to give you the grace. So what we've learned today is we see how the guidance of the Holy Spirit is crucial in missions, is crucial in everything that we do. And whatever we are learning, whether it is missions, whether it is your workplace, whether it is business, whether it is who to marry, whether it is, you know, what to do with your children, as we learn to be sensitive and to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, He is able to speak and guide us. So I'll stop there, and I pray that God has given us a clear reflection of what He wants us to learn. So I'll welcome you, my brother, for any reflections. Okay, thank you. Okay, we thank God. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, I honor You, I magnify Your holy name. Thank You for Your clarity in Your word, that You've called us to seek the guidance and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit for our decisions. And indeed, no one can be guided and led of You unless they have received the Spirit of Jesus. They have received the Holy Spirit, and that happens only through salvation. And so for my brother, my sister, who desires to know You, who desires to hear Your voice, as they accept you today, as they put their faith in you for the forgiveness of their sins and for the redemption of their souls, I pray that you accept them as your child and they become born again today. And I pray for wisdom. I pray for the guidance of your spirit. I pray for sensitivity, O God. I pray that each and every one of us shall grow in maturity to know the distinctions in our life, the distinctions that guide us or that distinguish us from the right or from the left, or of which way to go. Because you say in your word, we shall hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. I pray today that we shall receive the wisdom of the Spirit, and we shall have the wisdom of the just to know right from wrong, to distinguish guidance, to receive the guidance of the Spirit, to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And this shall lead us into that blessed place, O God. I pray for wisdom. I pray for direction. I pray for grace. And I pray for your favor. Thank you for the provisions that you give your children when we find you, O God. Even as we do our works, and cover us with the blood of Jesus, protect us and make a way for those that need healing. May they receive their healing at this moment in Jesus' name. I pray that your voice will continue to be much, much clearer in our hearts. Praying all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Have a blessed, blessed day, and shalom. Yeah. Bye bye. Yes, you are the Lord Most High. Yes, you are the Lord Most High. Yes, you are the Lord Shalabakapo Sereba Most High.